right now in Lebanon, Shia, Sunni, Christians, all united to fight Israel if Israel decides to go after Hezbollah. How do you find the situation right now in Gaza?
First of all, let me get the smile off my face. I'm smiling because of the failure of the Israeli enterprise and everything that Israel stands for. It's a glorious moment. I used to love Israel, traveled there frequently, loved the Israeli people. I don't anymore. I actually am at the point where I no longer sympathize for them or empathize. Israel is a force of evil, and it cannot exist. It's literally a cancer in the Middle East, and if it continues to exist, it will destroy the entire edifice. That's not anti-Semitic. It's not anti-Jewish. It's anti-Israel, the concept of a greater Israel. So when Israel has, for the last several, I mean, since the, remember, Hezbollah only exists because Israel invaded southern Lebanon in 1982. It's a resistance organization. It exists to resist Israel. Israel still occupies parts of southern Lebanon, the Sheba Farms. I know Israel will put forward some nonsense about it belongs to Syria and they have documents, da, 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 da. It's Lebanon. Israel knows it's Lebanon. And so Hezbollah continues to exist. Israel has tried to isolate Hezbollah as just a militia, an illegal armed group that needs to be done away with. Hezbollah, on the other hand, has become a political party that has become part of the Lebanese government, a major part of the Lebanese government, very successful. And Hezbollah is well thought of. I mean, there's a lot of corruption in Lebanon. A lot of political parties don't have the trust and confidence of the Lebanese people. It says something when Hezbollah does have the trust and confidence, even amongst those segments of society, the Christians in particular, the Sunnis, that might otherwise be inclined to be opposed to Hezbollah because of sectarian reasons. Hezbollah has become synonymous with Lebanon. And so when Israel now says they want to destroy Hezbollah, Lebanon realizes what Israel is saying is we are going to destroy Lebanon. And Lebanon has made a decision that it's not going to go gently into that good night, that they will fight side by side with Hezbollah. That's why I smiled, because I love it when evil is defeated. And this is the defeat of evil. Israel is an evil institution. There's nothing good that comes out of Israel. It stands for nothing positive. It's an illegal occupation regime that has brought death and destruction to the region. The only good that's come out of Israel is the good that it does for itself, the self-promotion of a perversion of the Jewish cause through Zionistic institutions that have nothing to do with promoting Judaism and everything to do with opposing or oppressing the indigenous Arab population of the region, the Palestinian people. Gaza is just a horrific tragedy. Daily, on a daily basis, we're reminded of the evil that Israel does, and what it's doing. And by extension, again, when I say evil, understand that because Israel is literally an extension of America, this is the evil of America as well. Sorry to say that to my fellow citizens, but if we promote Israel, we promote Zionism, we're promoting evil, and therefore we are evil ourselves. It's a disease that's infected everybody. It's infected the Republican Party. It's infected Democratic Party. It's infected MAGA. It's infected independents. I mean, we have a handful of people. Jill Stein is, Cornel West, who have articulated, but they're in a distinct minority in the United States. The majority of Americans tend to support what's going on. They support the continued existence of Israel without understanding or able to articulate what Israel is. Yes, we're horrified by the imagery that comes out of Gaza. But when you support Israel, you then support the notion that the Israelis are a superior race, a superior people, that the Palestinians are somehow inherently inferior. And now you're buying into the notion of human animals, which is what Israel uses to describe, terms Israel uses to describe the Palestinian people, human animals. And when they're human animals, I mean, yes, I cry when I take, I mean, my God, I don't want to look at cows being butchered, but I still go to McDonald's and eat their damn burgers. I'll still buy a steak. You know, I just pretend the evil doesn't exist. And at the end of the day, I mollify myself by saying, they're just cows. That's God's greater plan. They're put on earth to feed me. And the second you stop viewing the Palestinians as anything other than humans with the same rights as everybody else, you're literally relegating them to be cows, to be slaughtered. And that's what's happening. This is pure butchery. I mean, Gaza has become a butcher shop. When you see what they've done to those children, not just the death of the child, but the physical mutilation of their bodies, the slaughter of entire families, and the fact that it continues on a daily basis on the scope and scale that it does shows a gross indifference to human life, not just by Israel. I've already categorized it as evil. They are evil. Israel must be annihilated, eliminated as a nation state. It has no right to exist. It's lost that right. If it ever had it, it lost it a long time ago. But the American people, we let Nikki Haley go and sign artillery shells, encouraging the Israelis to finish the job. That's like telling Adolf Hitler, fire up the crematoriums, finish the job, get the trains running faster, baby, finish the job. You know, telling Andrew Jackson, don't let him go on the Trail of Tears, man. Kill them all. Don't let him go to Oklahoma. Wipe them all out, baby. We don't need those American Indians. They're not humans. They're animals, human animals, human animals. And that's what the Palestinians have become in the minds of everybody, because we're just simply watching the slaughter of an entire people. Now, this is where it gets controversial, and I get in a lot of trouble when I say this, but it's a necessary slaughter. And I don't mean that because I view them as human animals. I view them as martyrs, as people who, had this conflict not taken place the way it has, wouldn't achieve the potential outcome that appears to be on the horizon, the actual formation of a Palestinian homeland, a Palestinian state. It was never going to come free. It was never going to come easy. There was always going to be a horrific cost, because you can't have a Palestinian state and a Zionist Israeli entity peacefully coexisting. It's impossible. A two-state solution is impossible, especially now. It's impossible. Israel is incompatible with the vision of a Palestinian state, so Israel must be eradicated, eliminated, removed. That can't happen without dramatic transformations of opinions, political, just tectonic shifting of political, emphasis. And that can't happen unless the entire world was shocked by Israeli atrocities. You can't prove the point of Israel being a genocidal state unless Israel commits genocide, actual genocide. And this is the genius of Hamas. I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I mean, Charles de Gaulle signed off on the D-Day landings knowing that tens of thousands, perhaps even more than 100,000 French would die as a result, because you can't liberate France from Nazi occupation without a military conflict that takes out the trains, takes out the potential deploying areas, and civilians live there, and the civilians were going to be killed in large numbers. And de Gaulle signed off on it. Is he evil? No. It's just the reality that he had to operate in. But this is why de Gaulle never celebrated the D-Day anniversary. Because to him, it wasn't about the liberation of France. To him, it was him signing off on the death of the French people he was supposed to protect. Hamas knew what it was doing on October 7th. I've called it the greatest military operation in modern history, the greatest raid in modern history. War is an extension of politics by other means, meaning that what they initiated on October 7th was far more than just a successful military operation. It started in motion these tragic events that will culminate in the creation of a Palestinian state. Without October 7th, we wouldn't be talking about the creation of a Palestinian state, not in a viable way, not in a way that has the world resonating, reflective of this. Without the sacrifice of the Palestinian people, we wouldn't be talking about this. If Israel had launched a bloodless campaign, a punitive campaign that's simply focused on Hamas, the world wouldn't be acting the way they did, but that Israel's incapable of doing that. And that's the genius of Hamas, because they knew exactly what Israel was going to do. They anticipated it, every aspect of it. Hamas knows Israel. Shinwar knows the Israelis. He was in their damn prison camps. He knows how they think. He knows by capturing these hostages, these prisoners of war, and bringing them back in, what it would do to Israeli society, to create fractures within Israel, to get Israelis to attack Israelis. He understood that the Israeli army was incapable of managing a conflict as complex as what they faced in Gaza, fighting a war on above ground and below ground at the same time, they can't do. And he knew that Israel didn't have the capacity to absorb the damage that was being inflicted on it long term by Hamas. Israel today admits it's running out of tanks. Israel's running out of tanks. Why? Because Hamas is destroying and damaging them. Hamas understood this. They have the plan, the wherewithal, the sustainability factor. Israel's running out of spare parts. Israel's running out of men that are willing to fight. Israel's been strategically defeated by Hamas. And this is the precondition for the path towards a Palestinian state. Now understand, this path will be convoluted. It's going to be complicated. It's not going to be easy. It may start out as a two-state solution. I personally believe it will be. But I think Hamas is smart enough to know that they have created fatal damage to Israel, that a two-state solution is predicated upon a viable Palestinian state, and B, a viable Israeli state. There is no such thing as a viable Israeli state anymore. One, economically, Israel can't survive. You can thank Nasrallah for that, the Houthi, Yemen. They've launched the greatest economic blockade against the state that's ever been undertaken because it worked. They're not able to run this blockade. The U.S. Navy was defeated by the Houthi, defeated, because they can't stop it. They're still hitting ships. Southern Port of Israel, non-functioning, bankruptcy. Israel itself is a bankrupt nation. The economy is flailing, will never recover. And if the economy doesn't recover, then the land of milk and honey doesn't exist. And that's the only damn thing that brought the Zionists in. Understand, the Zionists aren't religious. They're not religious. They're there to steal the land of the Palestinians and live in prosperity on land they didn't own, land they stole. They're living there. If you don't have an Israel where people can wake up in the morning and have a barbecue and then go to the beach and do all the stuff that secular people do, because it's not a religious state. They have religious people there, but that's not what Israel's about. It's about living comfortably off of the labor in the land that you stole from others. That's the whole premise of Israel. That's it. That's it. And when you remove that, when they're going to live under the perpetual fear of retaliation if Israel tries to flex its muscles again, people flee. We've seen 500,000 flee already. Israel's a small state. What, 9 million now? What happens when 4 million flee? What happens when 7 million flee? What happens when nobody wants to live in Israel anymore? Because the Zionist dream is over. And you know what else is going to break? In order to get that two-state solution, this is why I encourage people out there, don't be against the two-state solution, because it's a suicide pill for Israel. The two-state solution will require Israel to undo the West Bank settlements, the outright thievery that's taken place, to begin dismantling that. And then they break the back of the Brooklyn Jews. And that's one of the great centers of evil in Israel today, the Brooklyn Jews, American Jews, who went over there and stole the land of the Palestinians because they can, because Zionism empowers them to do that. Break the back of the Brooklyn Jews, send them back to Brooklyn. And when you do that, Israel will fall in amongst itself. There will be a quasi-civil war. There'll be a minimum civil unrest. Israel will devolve societally, and more Israelis will flee. And at some point in time, the Palestinian state won't have to do any work because Israel will cease to exist and the Palestinian state will expand. And now you have a singular entity where, if the Palestinians are smart, they allow Jews to live side by side in peace. There's no revenge. You can have a reconciliation committee if you want to. But the bottom line is, let Christians and Jews thrive. That's the future of Palestine. And that's a future that now is conceivable because of what Hamas did. Israel defeated itself, and it's a good thing. I would also tell the American people, look at what happened to Israel. Look what happens when you have a society that's defined by conflict, society that can only exist by oppressing others. That's America. That's how we interface with the world. That's our future if we don't change our ways, because Israel is America. Zionism is American hegemony under a different name. The same underlying principles, where we treat the world as our oyster, where the people that live in the world are pawns to be moved around. They're not human. They're not us. They're not American. American exceptionalism posits the notion that Americans are above everybody else. We're the indispensable people. We're the indispensable nation. Therefore, by definition, everybody else is dispensable. Human animals that can be eliminated, manipulated, destroyed, killed at will, as long as it benefits the American enterprise. We are the living personification of Zionism, just using different terms. Manifest destiny. There's no difference between manifest destiny and the Zionist principles. We take what isn't ours by force because God wills it. And that's where we are today. If we don't change our way as Americans, how we interface with the world, inevitably our outcome will be that of what is Israel's inevitable outcome.
Yeah.
They're gone.
With the current face of their army, Scott, with the current situation, as you've mentioned, of their army, if they go to Lebanon, to southern Lebanon, what do they face against Hezbollah?
Death and destruction. Hezbollah's going to wipe them off the planet. It looks to be a bad fight. Again, we talked earlier about the Russians and Ukrainians. You know, just because Russia's winning doesn't mean that Ukraine can't do harm to Russia. Of course, Ukraine can. Just because I say that Hezbollah is going to win doesn't mean that Israel isn't going to do great harm to Hezbollah and Lebanon. Israel will, of course. But this is an existential fight. It's a fight that Israel will initiate with the understanding that it is all or nothing. And therefore, Hezbollah and now Lebanon has to respond with the same way. It's a war of attrition, where both sides are going to be trying to achieve attritional supremacy. That's the equivalent of firepower supremacy in standard combat. If you and I are fighting, you got 15 guys, I got 15 guys, and we start opening fire on each other, in theory, if we both stand our ground and have well-aimed fire, we'll kill each other. All right. But human nature kicks in at some point in time, and one of us is going to blink first. One of us is going to say, I'm going down. I want to live. And the second they do that, you're no longer threatening me with death. And now I own you. I've got firepower superiority over you. You're suppressed. If I can suppress all of you, I get firepower supremacy. That means now that I can dictate maneuver and outcomes. So Israel and Hezbollah are going to start off by pounding each other with everything they have. There will be no limits in the initial phases. It's going to be death and destruction like you've never seen before, awful, horrible. And then what will happen is somebody's going to blink. Israel's going to blink because Hezbollah isn't going to let the fight take place south of the Litani River. Hezbollah is going to take the fight into northern Israel, into the Galilee. Israel will be called upon to deliver death and destruction to Israeli towns, to Israeli villages, to kill Israeli people. It'll be the Hannibal directive writ large, which Israel can't politically sustain. So Israel will blink. Hezbollah won't blink. Hezbollah can't blink now because they have the support of all the Lebanese people. You know, Hezbollah doesn't have to worry about the political consequences because the Lebanese people understand what's at stake here. And so Hezbollah will then have achieved firepower superiority, and then they will continue to suppress, inflict harm. Israel will not be able to respond effectively once its airfields are suppressed. That means more firepower could be brought there. The Iron Dome will be eliminated or depleted, more firepower with more precision, and Israel will rapidly devolve, and it'll be the physical destruction of Israel. That's what Israel will get if it goes to war against Hezbollah. It's simple military math. I, in the lead up to the Gulf War in October 1990, I was put in charge of a war game cell at the War Fighting Center in Quantico. Major General Caulfield ran it. And my job was to run scenarios for the Marine attack against the Iraqi defensive lines. Schwarzkopf had the Marines attacking a certain sector, and General Boomer, Walt Boomer, wasn't happy. And so he went to Caulfield and said, could you help us find the right place to attack? This required me to build a computer model of the Iraqi defenses, populate it, and then run simulations of the Marines attacking. And you do that by, you have to get down into the, brass tacks, morale factors, ammunition depletion, communications capabilities, et cetera. And you run the model. And I ran that model nonstop from October until early December, trying to come up with the best location and the best forces. And yes, it's computerized, but after you do it, after a while, your brain starts to work like the computer. And you start to be able to predict outcomes. You can sit there and say, if we get it to this, that, and the other thing, this is probably what's going to happen because I've seen what has happened in the past. And so my brain's been conditioned to plug in a whole bunch of military factors and just sit there and blink it through and go, yeah, I see the correlation of forces. I see the attritional factors, and I see what's likely to happen. Now, there's the human factor that's impossible to quantify, and that's always a reality there. But you offset that by, focusing on things that you know will have an impact on human, like command and control. Communications is important. If you block communications, you can't command and control. That inevitably leads to a deterioration of combat capacity. And that's what I've done with Israel and Hezbollah. So if people are out there going, how can you possibly? I'm just telling you guys right now that I have actually spent many hours laying out the force structures. I've populated it with data that is weighted to take into account experience, logistics, command and control, et cetera. And when I run that computer model in my head, Hezbollah wins every single time. But here's the other thing that people, that I should tell people. Israel ran two consecutive exercises in 2022 and 2023, where they tested a similar conflict notion. Basically, it was, what if everybody attacks Israel at once? But the main theater of operations for Israel was in northern Israel, southern Lebanon, against Hezbollah. Israel lost every time. Israelis know it too. It's just the way, you can't, if you're being honest, you can't fake the data. And the data has Israel losing every single time.